Good afternoon and welcome to our worship service here at IPC Zurich. If you are visiting with us today, we are very glad you've joined us. We thank God that he has brought you here today to be in his presence and among his people. Here at IPC, some of us eat naan at home, right? Some of us eat bürlibrot at home, right? Some of us eat injera at home. Some of us eat pitas at home. Some of us eat white bread at home. No, just kidding. But you know who you are. Some of us eat chapati at home. Some of us eat baguettes at home. And some of us perhaps eat agege. How'd I do? I do okay? All right. Agege, right. And others of us eat no bread at all because we're trying to avoid carbs. But what unites us is that we all feed on the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And today we've come to worship him and also Father and Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Please join me in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for creating this world in beauty. And for redeeming this world through Christ, and for sending us the gift of your Spirit to encourage us, to instruct us, and to sustain us. Today we long for your Spirit to work among us, to inspire our praise, to challenge us with your truth, and to equip us for service in this your world. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 113 and can be found on page 615 of the Church Bibles and in your bulletin insert. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Today's New Testament reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. And can be found on page 1191 in the Church Bibles and in your bulletin insert. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So today we take a break from our series on the kingdom parables of Jesus, and instead we focus our attention on Psalm 113. Please join me in prayer as we prepare for the preaching of God's word. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds and lead us into your truth for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So if I were to tell you that this past week I had really stooped low, you might understand this in two different ways. First, you might understand this quite literally, that this week I had physically bent forward and downward in order, for example, to pick something up, or, for example, to access a low-ceilinged space, say like the crypt at the Fraumünster, right? If you go off to the right down there, you get the little beams, you gotta stoop. Sometimes you literally have to stoop, right, in order to pick something up, in order to get into a space. But of course, you might have also understood what I said about stooping low. You might have understood it figuratively, or if you like, metaphorically. So, what would stooping low figuratively or metaphorically look like? Well, imagine I had a car, and in order to find close, convenient parking in Zurich, let's say I procured for myself a counterfeit disabled parking placard. And I used this counterfeit placard around town to park. That would be stooping pretty low, right? Yes? Okay. Some of you are saying, don't see the problem there. What's makes sense to me. I expected a little bit more reaction out of you, but yikes. Anyway, let's try another one. See how you do on this. You weren't even shocked. You're like, yeah, of course. That's what people do. All right, let me try one more. Let's say that in order to satisfy my inordinate cravings for junk food, let's say I was going around Zurich sticking my arm up vending machines in order to pick the snacks off the racks without paying for them, right? Now you should look aghast, right? Okay. Well, that would be stooping pretty low, right? And I can assure you if I were to do so, I'd take off the collar and I wouldn't identify myself as part of IPC. But you'd be shocked, right? I mean, that is stooping pretty low. Well, in any case, clearly stooping low, at least in the figurative sense, is not something you want to be perceived as doing. It's not good to stoop low, and others think a whole lot less of you if you do. And so, generally speaking, people try not to do it. Let me just give you two quick examples of people who have said, why they don't want to stoop low. Booker T. Washington, he was a black American educator and author who faced a lot of hateful discrimination during his life. He said this about stooping low. He said, I shall never permit myself to stoop so low as to hate any man. And maybe a little bit on the lighter side, the American country western singer Dolly Parton, someone who was constantly criticized for her fashion sense, said this about stooping low. She said, I would never stoop so low as to be fashionable. In other words, your definition of fashion, right? So we might say then that stooping low is generally associated with the dropping of standards, the abandoning of principles, the lowering of morals. Stooping low is neither socially desirable nor ethically acceptable, which then prompts me now to ask this question. Why in Psalm 113 is God revealed as a God who stoops down, or as some translations put it, stoops low? Why in Psalm 113 is God revealed in a way so seemingly unbecoming of him as God of the universe and Lord of the nations? A low stooper. Why in Psalm 113 is God revealed as one who deserves praise for stooping low? What does this language of stooping low mean when it describes God? Well, I could just tell you what it means. But instead today, I'm going to show you what it means. And the way I'm going to do so is by looking at three instances of God stooping down or stooping low. And I'm hoping that these three instances will give us a good idea of what this stooping down or stooping low activity is all about for our God. What its meaning is for him, what its significance is. Instance number one, meet Hannah. She's on the cover of your bulletins. Hannah is a peasant woman from the hill country of Israel who lived in Old Testament times. At one point in her life, she was feeling pretty low. You see, like every good Jewish woman of the time, Hannah wanted to have a child, and she wanted to have a child not least of all because having a child represented her opportunity to give birth to the Jewish Messiah. This apparently was in the minds of many Jewish women of the time, that they could potentially be the mother of God's anointed, the one who would come to save their nation. But Hannah was unable to have a child, and thus she had no opportunity to give birth to the Messiah. And worse yet, her husband's other wife, Peninnah, she had no problem at all producing children. And from what we read in the book of 1 Samuel, Peninnah wasted no opportunity to rub it in. She rubbed it in, leaving Hannah despondent and distraught, lower than low. So one day, despondent and distraught, lower than low, Hannah goes to the temple to pray to God for a child. And then at some point following this prayer, it happens for her, or more precisely, God makes it happen for her. Hannah has a child named Samuel. God stoops low in this case. He stoops all the way down from heaven to this hill country peasant in distress and gives her a child. Hannah recognizes the fact that God has stooped low, stooped down, and says this in her prayer of thanks to him. I'm reading now from 1 Samuel 2:8. Hannah says, "He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor." Because of what God did for her, we see that Hannah feels like royalty, when just a short time ago, she felt like someone down and out. God raised her from rock bottom to mountain heights. Okay, that's incident number one of God stooping low. We'll have three. Incident number two now, we've got another peasant girl here. This one's name is Mary. Mary, you might say, is a hick. That's an Americanism for someone from the countryside. Generally not the nicest thing to say, probably, right? Anyone ever heard that? Hick? Yeah? Ooh, a couple people, right? She's a hick from the north of the country, from a town called Nazareth, and she's engaged to another hick, a guy named Joseph. Well, one day, an angel visits a simple girl and tells her a complicated truth. The angel tells Mary that by the power of the Holy Spirit, she will become pregnant, and she will give birth to the Messiah. Mary, again, just a hick from the sticks, will become the mother of God's anointed. Well, Mary, like Hannah, recognizes the situation for what it is. She sees this as an incidence of God stooping down and stooping low. And in praise of God's action, she says or sings this: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." And then she goes on to say this: "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Note the way she praises God as the one who is mindful of her humble, low state, and as one who lifts up the humble, fills the hungry with good things. She, like Hannah, praises the God who stoops low and stoops down for people. Last incident now. This one concerns not a simple girl, but a very sophisticated man. A sophisticated man who began life as Saul and then eventually became known later in life as Paul. Well, one day, Paul, who has made it his mission to eradicate Christians and Christianity from the world, Paul's traveling from Jerusalem to Damascus in order to find some more Christians to imprison. And while traveling there, Jesus literally stops him in his tracks, converting him from a persecutor of Christians to a follower of Christ. Reflecting later on the event, Paul says this about this incident of God stooping low. Zara just read it, in fact, from 1 Timothy. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. So do you see in this case, too, how God stooped low for someone, in this case for Paul? He stooped low to reach down and save a self-described blasphemer, persecutor, and violent man. He stooped low to save someone who was an awful human being. God stooped low to save Paul, and he showed him mercy. So, if you know your Bibles, you know I could name any number of incidents in which God stoops low or had stooped low. But here in these examples, we see that from a very high place in heaven, God concerns himself with people who find themselves in a very low place on this earth. Although enthroned in heaven, he's not a distant God, he's a near God. And he's particularly near to the lowest of the low, something we see now in Psalm 113. After a general call to praise in the first three verses of the psalm, here's now how the psalmist describes his high and mighty God's actions on behalf of the weak and lowly. I'm starting at verse 4. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. So note, the psalmist uses almost the exact same language that Hannah uses in her song of praise to God, including there's the bit about childbirth as well at the end of the psalm. In any case, this is, we have to understand, the very nature of God. He stoops low out of love and concern. He stoops low in his mercy and in his grace. And of course, Jesus Christ as the image of God is an object lesson for us in this respect, right? Jesus' whole life from birth to death is an exercise in stooping low. Not only does he stoop low by taking on human flesh and suffering pain and humiliation and even death itself, but also he stoops low by seeking those out in society whom society has deemed uninteresting, unfit, undeserving. He stoops low by reaching out to those whom many of the religious people at the time thought awful and unworthy. He stoops low by caring for the least, the last, and the lost. He stoops low because he is God, and this is what God does. To close, and it's going to be a while, so don't get ready to go. To close, let me just say this. Perhaps Psalm 113 can serve for us as a reminder today. A reminder that if we are true believers, truly heirs to this kingdom of God we've been talking about all fall, then at some point, God through Jesus Christ stooped low for us. For none of us was our entry into the kingdom of God a lateral move. No, for every one of us, it was a promotion from somewhere very low indeed, whether we recognize that or not. Likewise, none of us should consider ourselves high born We were all lowborn, born into sin, born into the fallout from the fall, born unable to save ourselves, born unable to restore ourselves. Yes, for every one of us, it was from a low position of unworthiness and unfitness, inability and helplessness. It was from such a low position that we were raised by a God who stooped down and stooped low through Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of this should really shape our existence as believers. First, it should shape our existence by reassuring us that just as God did it once, he'll continue doing it for us. He'll again and again stoop low for us. In fact, he'll never stop stooping low for us. We're not forgotten in good times or bad times. This because our God above is also a God below. He's present and accounted for in our lives, giving us what we ultimately need. He didn't save and then abscond. Rather, he saved and he stuck around for our benefit. Indeed, God remains not too high for us, and neither are we too low for him to notice us, to watch over us, to care for us. In life and in death, we read, nothing will separate us from his love, nothing will separate us from his care. Again, he is not too high, and we are not too low for his providential care. So that's the first way God stooping low for us should shape our existence, should reassure us, give us confidence that we will never be without his providential care. The second way is this. Given that God in Jesus Christ stooped low for us, this should lead us to live lives of humility and gratitude. Our model for living lives should be like people like Hannah, Mary, the Apostle Paul, who realized how low God had gone for them, how low God had stooped for them. And then they responded in their lives with humility and gratitude. Let's recognize that neither Hannah, Mary, nor Paul responded to God stooping low for them by praying the prayer of the Pharisee. The prayer lots of church people, I think, love to pray these days. Thank you, God, I am not like those people. No, they prayed the prayer of the publican, articulating to God their unworthiness and his benevolence. And we should do the same, recognizing that we are who we are only by the grace of God. Third way that God stooping low for us should shape our existence. So as God through Jesus Christ stooped low for others during his time on earth, so should we. As I mentioned earlier, when Jesus was on this earth, he stooped low by seeking out those whom society had deemed uninteresting, unfit, and undeserving. He stooped low by reaching out to those whom many of the highly religious people of the time thought awful, unworthy. He stooped low by caring for the least, the last, and the lost, and we should do the same. His mission to the lowly should be our mission to the lowly. And when I say lowly here, don't misunderstand this. I don't mean people who have low value or low dignity. No, I mean simply people of low circumstance or low situation, difficult circumstance. People who are not intrinsically lowly, essentially lowly, but existentially lowly. That's what they find themselves in. Now, it just so happens that today's Lunch and Learn features a Christian organization called MedAir that does just this, continues God's mission to the lowly. This sermon, I can assure you, was not planned in conjunction with a visit from Ann Reitzema. There you are. Nope. As we say, it's a God thing, brings these things together, right? But as I was preparing the sermon this week, the connection was too obvious for me, too obvious. With the work in places like Sudan, South Sudan, Madagascar, DRC, they are seeking in Christ's name to heal and restore, to renew and repair that which has been so tragically affected by human sin and cosmic evil. In the name of Christ and in the manner of Christ, they and many other organizations are stooping low in order to lift others. And as I thought about this week, perhaps I've got a new marketing slogan for you. Medair, we stoop low. Right? Well, no, I got a better one. Medair, no one stoops lower than we do. Now, you can see I've got a bit of a marketing past, and if the board would like to approve an honorarium for that, no problem. Everyone else is thinking, just stick to theology, Pastor Mark, please. All right. That was in jest. But anyway, point made. Medair and organizations like Medair can be used by God to stoop low to lift others. Lift them spiritually, emotionally, physically, and materially. And of course, he can also use us as individuals to do the same. In Psalm 113, the psalmist celebrates his God, our God, who stoops low. Far from being a fault or failing of his stooping low is a benefit and a blessing to us. It is, in fact, the only reason we can have hope today. Without his stooping low, we would not be able to rise above our terminal human condition brought about by the fall, brought about by ourselves. With his stooping low, though, God has given us the opportunity to be raised with Christ to the highest of heights in a life of meaning and significance now, worship and obedience now, and a life of glory and triumph to come. Let me just end with Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. I think this really speaks to what we've been talking about today. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you stooped low for us. And may we never forget this, and may we live our lives in reflection of this and in gratitude for this. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go from here today with thanksgiving and with praise for the God who stooped low for us. And go from here also eager to stoop low for others, doing so in the name of Christ, who went as low as you can go for us, dying so that we might live. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen.